Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show co-host Joe, confusing the heck out of everybody and himself with the hosting schedule that he gave out that he did not adhere to, thus leading to him hosting today instead of John and him speaking of himself in the third person because he is not actually aware that he is himself. And certainly he was not himself when he misunderstood the schedule. Anyway, if Alan were here with us today, tragically, his passing, tragically he passed away a month ago, and we will continue his legacy, though, and give to you his mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. The Alan Nathan Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for continuing this program's existence, and despite the tragedy that it suffered. And this show is now in its 27th year. It's, no, 28th year. It's in its 28th year. It's been around 27 and a half years. And started in 1998. Been around a long time, and it will continue for the current foreseeable future. Anyway, though, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for that. You can show them some gratitude. Go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. Find out more about the show while you're up there. Find out about where you can listen to it, podcasts, that sort of thing. Also, the Silker Joe Show. They've got some pages there on mainstreetradionetwork.com in case you decide that you like me hosting. You can find the show that I generally host. Well, I guess I now am one of the rotating hosts for this program, too. Have been for 5 years now. So, it's all on mainstreetradionetwork.com. And if you want to find out when I'm hosting what, you can go to at Alan Nathan on X, at Main Street Radio on X, or Facebook at Main Street Radio Network. We are also post other things on those social media outlets, too. I was about to say alannathan.com. That's another website that we have, and it's, of course, about this show, strictly about this show. Probably no mention of me anywhere on that website, which is perfectly okay. You will find the columns and op-eds Alan wrote over his lifetime all up there at alannathan.com. Anyway, we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network as well for distributing the show. And now at this point in time, we recite to you in Alan's tradition the topics that are written out on social media. I don't think the other guest hosts do that, really. They kind of write theirs after the program. But I got mine right here. Whether it's shutting down the government or aiding human trafficking and murder, Democrats inflict pain in the name of fighting Trump. When will they list TDS, as Trump Derangement Syndrome, as a mental illness next to self-harm? I would have said suicide, but this has to go out on social media, and they're a little finicky about the reach of your post if you include a word like suicide. But also the other topic, Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene are a-feudin' allegedly after he dismissed her senatorial and gubernatorial hopes, but which of them has shown their true colors? I'll start with that topic. So, we have this burgeoning feud between the two. Marjorie Taylor Greene, congresswoman from Georgia, of course. She used to be a staunch ally, strong Trump supporter. And she's been trying to repaint herself over the last couple of weeks. And she dismisses the idea, though, that all this started because of Trump poo-pooing her chances at being a senator or a governor, saying she never even discussed that, whereas Trump says that Greene started separating from him after he shared with her this poll that was done that showed she had not a chance in heck of beating the Democrat Senator John Ossoff in Georgia if she ran against him. So Greene then proceeded to moderate herself, become less extreme, breaking with the Republicans a whole bunch, and more than she used to, and then started going on liberal news outlets. She even distanced herself in some ways from the base that elected her. All things one would do if moderating your stance for a statewide run. Now, Trump says she used to call him daily and just got annoyed that he didn't reply to her, and is trying to make it out that she's just really vying for power, and when he wouldn't give it to her, wouldn't commit to endorsing her, that's when she split. But she insists that it was Trump, in fact, who went over the edge because he doesn't want the Epstein files released, and she does. But the thing of it is, Trump already said that he wants Republicans to vote to have them released. Although, that whole Epstein matter, I might get to it in a later hour of the show or something, but that whole Epstein matter, at this point, it's just a political hot potato. You say, tossing it back and forth between each side, hey, I want the files released, oh, actually, I don't, I'll block them. And then the other side, hey, I want the files released, no, actually, I don't, I'll block them too. And just lobbing it back and forth. But no telling what's in them now. I guess both sides know that there's something against them in there. Anyway, though, Green earlier this year, though, did first say in May that she wasn't going to be going to do the Senate run, then later said she wasn't going to do the governor run. And each time she attacked donors in the party in Georgia. But she's changed her story now. Now she's saying, as far as the Senate goes, it's stuff like the shutdown. That's why she didn't want to be a senator. As opposed to what she said earlier this year, that it was, oh, the donors wouldn't back me, that's the only reason. They were afraid of me or whatever. Now, you don't turn on a dime politically like this and change all your stories like this if you were telling the truth about why you were doing this. It looks very much to be like she just saw some polls. She does have a point, though. One thing she raised was Trump focusing on foreign countries, how he should be more America first. And I would tend to agree at this point, while the Republicans and Democrats argue over shutdowns and Congress, whatnot, Trump seems to be more or less have been focusing on foreign matters, which, I mean, I guess that's a good way to kill some time while the Congress is inactive, because Republicans in Congress aren't any more inclined to give him what he wants than the Democrats are. We saw that during his first term. He had a slew of executive orders at the beginning of this term, and I guess that's all he figured he could get done because he knew Republicans wouldn't do anything for him. And so after that, he just focused on foreign affairs, see what he could do there while all of his executive orders went through the legal ringers that the activist judges we've been talking about all year ago. But actually, allegedly now, this is a headline from Gateway Pundit, came out just this morning. Trump reveals he's in talks with Democrats to totally gut Obamacare, ending the gravy train for big insurance. We talked about that on the show. I've talked about that on the Silker Joe show, how the Obamacare subsidies were gravy trains for the insurance companies and allowing the insurance companies to raise their rates to such astronomical highs. Like the sticker shock that they're talking about that we'll get after the Obamacare subsidies expire, the only reason the insurance companies raised their rates to that highness is because of those subsidies. If they didn't have the subsidies, those insurance rates wouldn't be that high. And they spent $400 billion on lobbying Democrat politicians to keep them that high. Because with taxpayer money coming to those insurance companies to artificially keep the rates low as far as the public could see, you know, they were making bank. They were getting like $1 trillion a year. And then they dropped 4/10 of that on bribing Democrat politicians. Although I guess it's, you know, I don't know exactly the figure of how long they've been getting that trillion each year. I think that's just the Obamacare subsidy. So that's been going on for 4 years now that they've been getting that from the American taxpayer. So, of course, the insurance companies are going to keep those rates high, because what you're seeing now, this rate jump, I'm doing air quotes around that word, rate jump, rate hike. It's not a hike at all. It's just what you actually have been paying. The only difference is now taxpayers aren't hiding it from you. They've been using money from your fellow taxpayers so that you would pay less, but overall the rates are the same. The rates are what you were seeing. You were just getting help from the fellow taxpayers. And I can't even afford health insurance. Why the hell do I want to pay for you to have health insurance? Come on. No one's helping me out. I'm perfectly happy sacrificing the possibility of a lower rate that I couldn't afford anyway, and sacrificing your health insurance so that I have more tax money less money taken from taxes, I should say, at the end of the year. But that's just me. Anyway, though, so Trump is allegedly in talks with Democrats to try and do something about that. And another sticking point that Marjorie Taylor Greene had was she wants to eliminate the H-1B visa program altogether, or so she claims. I'm not so sure now because, I don't know, she seems a little disingenuous these days. from September. Here's the headline. Marjorie Taylor Greene, nothing left to talk about with the left. I want a peaceful national divorce. Then less than 2 months later, she does The View and other left-wing shows crapping on Republicans in her appearances. So, you know, she might be taking positions here that she thinks are politically advantageous in the moment, might just be being a partisan creature of the swamp, as opposed to someone we can trust. So as far as her bill to get rid of the H-1B visas, I don't know, maybe she introduced it because she doesn't expect it to go anywhere. But she's saying that Trump betrayed the people by having betrayed the American people by allowing 600,000 Chinese H-1B visas to go through. Based on the timing of that, I think that's just part of a deal he made with China to do something that we aren't privy to the details of, just because of the timing. Anyway, speaking of timing, we're out of time for the segment of the Al Nathan Show. Don't worry, we've got plenty of show coming up, so stick around.
Next year marks America's 250th birthday, and what better way to celebrate than an elevated train journey through the American Southwest? Canyon Spirit offers the adventure of a lifetime with scenic train journeys through rugged canyons and desert landscapes, along with gourmet dining and world-class service. Expansive panoramic windows allow guests to watch the magnificent scenery best seen by rail, including river canyons, red rocks, and more. Canyon Spirit travels between Salt Lake City and Denver with overnight stays in Moab, Utah, and Glenwood Springs, Colorado. And the train only travels during the day, allowing guests to enjoy the journey and relax overnight in charming small towns. TV host and travel expert Kelly Rizzo.
I think there's a certain romance to boarding a train, especially through the iconic vistas of the Southwest. Canyon Spirit offers a front row seat to these breathtaking wonders, along with historic storytelling and regionally inspired gourmet dining. It's truly a wondrous experience.
To learn more, visit canyonspirit.com.
Butterball, the best known and most loved brand of turkey in the U.S., has partnered with renowned ChefCore brand Headley and Bennett to create the first ever Thanksgiving hosting pans. Butterball turkey talk line expert Corey Gustavik shares more.
Roasting whole turkey isn't something most of us do every day. It can be intimidating and stressful, but the right clothes can make you feel more confident and comfortable in the kitchen. That's why Butterball created the first of their kind Thanksgiving hosting pants. Designed with a fun turkey print in Butterball blue, these pants are sure to give you swagger in the kitchen while keeping all your cooking essentials within arm's reach. With custom pockets for your meat thermometer and phone, loops for your utensils and towels, and a bottle opener to keep the party hydrated, these pants will help you get a leg up in your hosting duties this year. Butterball is giving away for free one final time while supplies last at noon Eastern this Monday, November 17th.
Learn more and claim your pair of hosting pants at ThanksgivingHostingPants.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned, accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches. all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. I'm Soaker Joe, show co-host Joe, hosting the program today, diverging from our regular topics to talk about something that is coming for a bust in the future, not necessarily affecting us now, except via high prices, the housing market. We have Robert Romano. He is Executive Director of Public Policy at Americans for Limited Government, and he has a piece over at DailyTorch.com titled The Coming Housing Surplus. It's H-O-U-S-I-N-G, not H-O-U-S-Y. But anyway, Robert, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to be on again. Thanks for having me.
Yep, glad to have you. So you point out in this piece how in over the next 15 years, the baby boomer generation, as they pass, they will be leaving a great surplus in the housing market, but that's not necessarily helpful to anyone buying a house today when we're at all-time highs. What's going on here?
Well, the baby boom is over, and the baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964, today there's 73 million, but by 2040 there could be 35 million fewer folks naturally pass away. That said, and tragic as that is, we're going to lose our parents and many people their grandparents. We're going to see an impact on our current housing shortages could very rapidly become, or really gradually, but depending on how quickly this occurs, I mean, over 15 years, it's not that far away, you could see a housing surplus emerging. In fact, you're already seeing similar abandonment of properties, usually in rural areas, in places like Europe, Japan, South Korea. Europe, you can kind of look at Greece as a really good example, but Japan and South Korea with lower fertility, lower birth rates, is resulting in surplus properties and home prices coming down. Now, I think everyone would like to see home prices come down if you're trying to buy a house. Certainly buyers would like to see that right now, but it might not be happening for quite some time. As it is, housing has never been as unaffordable as it is today. And that's going back to the housing crisis when you compare the average home price, which is about $420,000 today, to the median income is only $80,000 or so, $82,000. That's not in 2006. Housing versus the income wasn't even that bad as a percentage. So I think that we're looking at the most unaffordable. Whereas in 2006, the problem was we were building too many homes, and it led to a housing bust. Today, the problem appears to be we're building too few homes.
Right, and we run the risk of hypothetically, in order to counter this, if there's suddenly a program to build more housing. Then over the next 15 years, as the baby boomer generation dies off, we will end up possibly in a situation like the 2008 crash, because then we'll have overbuilt housing.
That is a nice puzzling possibility. A lot will depend on what is built, where it is built, and honestly what demand is. Look at Florida is probably a key example of this, right? We've seen a disproportionate retirement flight into a state like Florida. So in 15 years, what will Florida look like when the baby boomers aren't there anymore? Now, it's probable that they'll actually be kind of stable because people will continue. It's still a retirement economy, right? People are still going to be, Generation X is going to be retiring, and they'll be moving into those homes where the baby boomers are living right now in a state like Florida. So you might see some stability there. Nationally, on the other hand, depending on how much of a housing surplus is created, I think it would be very difficult, frankly, to build your way to the housing bubble that we saw back in the early 2000s. It's just a totally different ball of wax. As I mentioned, you're literally hitting the bottom of supply. Whereas we were having housing starts of 2.2 million annually on average at the height of the housing bubble. You're at 1.3 million right now, and that's coming out of the hundreds of thousands that, you know, sparse hundreds of thousands that we were seeing in the immediate aftermath of the housing bubble. So I think you have a long way to go to kind of build your way to a housing collapse, per se. But it's an interesting possibility. I'd say that everyone would be happy to get prices down sooner rather than later if you're the political incumbents, in this case, President Trump, Vice President Vance, and Republicans. Housing being this unaffordable, even very early into the Trump administration, we've seen the approval ratings already go upside down. Joe Biden was underwater within 9 months. Trump went underwater in the approval rating within 3 or 4 months. And so I think that the high prices and affordability are basically they're majority killers. And it doesn't matter which party's in power, they'll keep losing elections until people feel better about their cost of living and inflation.
So maybe then the fact that creating a housing bubble as big as we saw in 2008 is so far away, there is room to build more housing and you know, government perhaps artificially increasing the housing rate itself by subsidies and whatnot without actually creating that bubble.
I think so. No, we have room to build, and we need to build more at this point. I think that's it's such a crisis, but it's also very destabilizing politically when you consider the how the economics are impacting the politics. We've had two consecutive one-term presidents, Trump, then Biden, and then we're going to have a third because Trump is just, you know, he had two terms, though, so it's not exactly the same thing. We don't know who's going to win the election in 2028. But just on that first point, the two consecutive one-term presidents, you have to go back to Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter the last time that happened. And what was the problem back then? Inflation. If you go back even further to both the 1840s and the late 1880s, early 1890s, you saw cases where the incumbent party lost three general elections in a row. So every time there's been two, it ended up there being three. The fact that there's been two tells you that the COVID recession and the post-COVID inflation have been extremely destabilizing to our economy and therefore our politics. And that those are still very choppy waters that the second Trump administration currently finds themselves in. So, yeah, anything you can do to boost supply, the president's looking to flood food markets right now. It worked with eggs. Now he wants to do it with beef and coffee and bananas and other things that we don't necessarily produce enough of in the United States to try to get those prices down. I think building new homes is going to be the most challenging thing, getting those housing starts to increase significantly. Maybe there's something in the One Big Beautiful Bill that will cause home builders to say, we need to build more. But usually what happens during economic slowdowns is building slows down and because people aren't buying. If you're not going to buy, you're not going to build houses just to have them sit there just so you can help the national average of prices come down. I don't think that's what builders are in the business of, do you?
No, not really. And then with these tariffs on building goods, that's just exasperating that particular aspect of the situation.
That's a good, interesting question as well. But in the Big Beautiful Bill, you have 100% expensing. So there is some economic activity, and that will impact construction. You should be able to build certain aspects of new housing and be able to expense that next year. So perhaps that can help, and maybe the right policy mix is already there. We'll find out.
All right. Well, Robert Mano, appreciate you being on the Al Nathan Show to talk about this. And listeners, his piece over at the Daily Torch, it's at dailytorch.com, titled The Coming Housing Surplus. You can check that out. We're coming to a break, but more Al and Nathan Show on the other side.
Hilton has once again been ranked number one on the world's best workplace list, according to Great Place to Work and Fortune. The hospitality leader has now topped the list twice in 3 years. At Hilton, its team members say the hospitality industry is where they can learn, grow, and achieve their career goals. Victoria, a sales director at a Homewood Suites property, explains.
Hospitality is the warmest industry that you can go into. The care, the nurturing, and the areas of opportunity are large. There are so many different elements in hospitality, and I don't think everyone thinks about the larger picture that they could fit into. Hilton has always been just a welcoming, open-armed, flexible place to work. I'm going to look forward in enjoying more stable work days and the ability to just have that work-life balance that I truly want.
To learn more about what makes Hilton a great place to work, visit stories.hilton.com/world's best workplace.
Small businesses face constant security challenges, from protecting property to keeping employees and customers safe. Simply Safe is stepping in with a new suite of professional-grade security solutions designed specifically for business owners. TV host and entrepreneur Chip Wade has more.
As a business owner, I travel a lot for work, and it's reassuring to have a system that not only lets me monitor my businesses no matter where I am, but it's protected by trained agents who will intervene if there's trouble. It's about knowing my offices and workshops are protected even when I can't be there.
Simply Safe Business Security offers customizable plans backed by 24/7 monitoring. Key features include AI-powered cameras, live agents who can help prevent crimes and call for help in an emergency, multi-camera live streaming, customized user access, and elevated customer support.
Simply Safe aims to give business owners just like me peace of mind so they can focus on growing their businesses, all without long-term contracts or cancellation penalties.
To learn more, visit simplysafe.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is how we lose democracies all over the world, when despots or would-be despots say, I'm going to hurt the people, use their pain as extortion to try to get you to give me more power to corrupt the nation. So there is not an easy path to saving the democracy. There is not a path that doesn't involve some pain, but there's no simple pain-free path.
There are Senate Democrats who feel that, you know, the whole point
of this risky enterprise was because eventually, over time, they felt that they would gain enough leverage over Republicans to force them to negotiate and compromise over Obamacare premium subsidies that are about to expire. And yes, the pain was mounting. They felt that, you know, they were getting closer to putting Republicans in a very uncomfortable situation.
I mean, shutdowns are terrible. And of course, there will be families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously. But it is one of the few leverage times we have.
Welcome back to the Al and Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show, co-host Joe hosting today. And first, you just heard a series of three clips there. The first one was from ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos, yesterday. It was Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat out of Connecticut. He was asserting that Trump was making the shutdown hurt because he wanted to blackmail the Democrats, and that's what despots do to get what they want. They hurt people in order to force people of good conscience to side with them to keep them from hurting people more or whatever. And then he went on to say the Democrats must do the same darn thing to get what they want, which is followed appropriately by a clip from Washington Week with The Atlantic. It was from November 15th, where CBS News' Nancy Cordes was saying, well, Senate Democrats actually wanted the exact same thing that Murphy just said, wanted to cause pain in order to pressure Republicans into giving Democrats what they wanted. And the third clip was from October 22nd. House Minority Whip Catherine Clark was saying Democrats need to let people suffer during the shutdown because that is their leverage. So by the standard laid out by Chris Murphy, Democrats are the despots here. And just seeing Murphy pivot, let's just listen to the whole clip because I cut that down a bit to get it in under a minute with the other three clips. But let's just listen to clip one, his whole statement on that.
We don't want a shutdown, but the situation is unique. Donald Trump is trying to weaponize our compassion against us. This is how we lose democracies all over the world, when despots or would-be despots say, I'm going to hurt the people, use their pain as extortion to try to get you to give me more power to corrupt the nation. So there is not an easy path to saving the democracy. There is not a path that doesn't involve some pain. We will have to find unique ways, as the civil rights movement did, to mitigate the pain for people. But there's no simple, pain-free path to saving our democracy.
So Murphy just admitted that Democrats are going to cause pain themselves in order to get what they want, which is this fictitious goal of saving the democracy. And he's saying Trump weaponizes their compassion or whatever, but he's talking like there was something unique in that continuing resolution that they were voting for. He's talking like that Trump was trying to get them to fund everything Trump wanted them to fund. But the continuing resolution, if anything, was just funding stuff that Biden had put in place until they could come up with something different. So Democrats fighting that, as Nancy Cordes from CBS said, they were fighting to get Obamacare subsidies continued, but they're the ones who made them expire in the first place. So Democrats basically were shutting the government down because they created this expiration date on the subsidies, and they were mad that Republicans went and extend the subsidies that Republicans didn't want. And Democrats were the ones willing to hurt people to get that goal. And just like in the one sentence, Murphy goes from saying only despots do this to saying Democrats are going to do it. They need to do it. What a flip. And he was so proud of this that he posted that interview on his X page. That's where I got it from, his social media page, where he does that flip right in the middle of the sentence. So I'll give him some credit for the mental gymnastics there. You know, 10 out of 10 really sank that flip in midair, although if we were rating on landing, I probably would have given him a 0 out of 10. But no, I'm rating the flips that he did. Some incredible mental gymnastics there. But yeah, that's the problem, though. Democrats are the ones trying to paint themselves as the winners, the ones fighting for the public, but then they're saying, yeah, well, actually, we want to cause pain. And like I said, Murphy, he couldn't even go a full minute there without saying, yes, Democrats are going to cause pain. And then, of course, I followed that in the opening with other clips of Democrats saying, yes, we're causing pain because this pain is our leverage. It's not Trump's leverage. It's our leverage. This is how we get Republicans to act. And Murphy seemed to be alluding to that point as well in his interview. So Democrats, it's all about pain. And that's shutting down the government alone. Now, as far as what I talked about in the opening with the topic I gave for the show, quote, whether it's shutting down the government or aiding human trafficking and murder, Democrats inflict pain in the name of fighting Trump, when will they list TDS as a mental illness next to self-harm? The other aspect of that, aiding human trafficking and murder, well, it should probably be murderers, but, you know, they're aiding the act of murder, too, by laying these people out. They really... Their soft on crime approach is one thing that's aiding the murderers, rapists, etc. in our streets. But number two, it's all these anti-ICE protests and all these lies that they're spreading about what, not just voters, but the media as well, are spreading about what ICE agents are up to. You know, saying, oh, this guy was arrested in the supermarket. He's just a peaceful man out shopping. Blah, blah, blah. He didn't deserve that. Well, yeah, he did. He's a criminal. He broke the law. Of course, you're going to arrest him at the supermarket. If you caught Adolf Hitler at the supermarket, wouldn't you put a bullet in him? Now, gee whiz, these are the same Democrats who say that anytime you see a Trump supporter out in public, you should go harass them, attack them, whatever, punch a Nazi. Yet they're saying you can't arrest an illegal immigrant criminal in the supermarket. Somehow that's a safe haven, not for Trump supporters, but for illegal immigrants who are involved with human trafficking. That's another point. Charlotte, North Carolina, ICE just enhanced its enforcement down there. There are all these leftists out there protesting them, blocking them, interfering with them. Yet, because of these illegal immigrants, Charlotte, North Carolina has become a major human trafficking hub. And that's what ICE is disrupting. But no, Democrats don't want that. They want the human trafficking to continue because that's what they're fighting for. And we saw this out in North Carolina. We saw this out in Northern California earlier this year. ICE agents broke into this area where children were being used, illegal immigrant children were being used as slave labor on some marijuana plantation. And Democrats came out and protested. You had a Democrat congressman try and break up the ICE raid on this marijuana place that was using child labor. Democrats have no problem with it, though. They want that to continue for some reason. It's just they wouldn't allow slave labor if it were Republicans doing it, that's for sure. And as far as this human trafficking goes, I mean, their principal argument against Trump with the Epstein things is that he's guilty of being involved with Epstein's human trafficking. Yet here they are, when it comes to an illegal immigrant, suddenly it's okay, it's acceptable. You got to fight law enforcement to the death in order to allow human trafficking to continue if it's an illegal immigrant? What's going through these people's minds? And that's where I get to this question about Trump derangement syndrome as a mental illness, possibly next to self-harm, given the effect that releasing these murderers and rapists out in the community can cause. I mean, heck... and just the soft on crime approach in general. Gateway Pundit reported this morning how a staffer for a soft on crime Democrat, Illinois Senate President Don Harmon, one of his staffers, was robbed at knife point in the congressman's district or the state senator's district office. So not even their district office is a safe haven. Someone broke in, robbed the staffer at knife point in that office. Just walked in, pulled a knife on a female staffer, stole her iPhone, and guy got arrested. It happened at 11 a.m. too, broad daylight. Guy just walks in, pulls a knife, takes the iPhone, gets out. Incredible. And he also wanted the staffer's wallet, but the staffer managed to escape somehow. Yet this sort of thing is just how Democrats roll. They have these soft-on-crime policies, and now it's affecting them. I wonder what's going to happen. Will the congressman put some security up around that office? Great, but you're the one who wants to defund the police and resell these criminals back onto the streets. You're the ones who, like Ma'am Donnie, wants to replace police with social workers. How are they going to respond to someone with a knife? Are they going to give them their iPhones and wallets as well and, you know, try and talk them down? Come on, you think that's going to work? Open season in Democrat territories, as far as crime goes. But somehow, they just have it in their heads, because Trump and Republicans are in favor of this, we have to be against it, whatever it is, to their own detriment. And actually, there's a Manhattan psychotherapist here, another Gateway Pundit thing, titled, Psychotherapist Confirms TDS is Real and Exploding, Patients Can't Sleep, Travel, or Function Normally Because They're Triggered by Trump. And this guy was talking about this Jonathan Alpert. Actually, Gateway Pundit reported this, but actually this is coming from Fox News, the Faulkner Focus with Harris Faulkner. This interview with Jonathan Alpert, a well-known psychotherapist practicing in New York and Washington. And he wrote in an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal that 3/4 of his patients suffer from what he can best describe as Trump derangement syndrome, or a political obsession so unhinged it borders on clinical impairment, as the Gateway Pundit phrases it here. And that's just where we're at with the Democrats. They lose sleep over it. Persistent and intrusive thoughts about Trump, compulsively monitoring news about him, endure chronic hyperarousal and vigilance, lose the ability to function normally in a daily life. And these are the people that are the Democrats are trying to cater to. Why not? They're the ones that Democrats whipped into that frenzy to begin with. And these people, they don't care how much harm they cause themselves. They just want to hurt Trump no matter what. That's why we get all these terrible things. More Al Nathan Schaff this break.
Would you know where to turn if you or loved one suddenly became paralyzed? Paralysis isn't something you plan for, but the National Paralysis Resource Center has served as a vital lifeline for thousands of families. But federal funding for the program is at risk. Marine veteran Sherman Gillums Jr., Senior Director of Public Policy at the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, says the consequences could be devastating.
This is about more than just a budget line. It's about veterans, caregivers, and families, real people who need these resources to live more productive and independent lives.
Gillums, who lives with paralysis himself, says cutting this funding would remove critical resources like peer mentoring, help with housing, and job placement guidance.
When you take away these lifelines, people must figure out how to rebuild their lives on their own. And that's not something any family should have to do.
Learn about the importance of funding for the National Paralysis Resource Center at ChristopherReeve.org.
On Sunday, November 2nd, Americans will fall back to standard time, despite growing concerns over the health and safety risks of seasonal time changes. According to sleep experts, making standard time permanent could improve the lives of millions, and the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time and its partner, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, are working to make that a reality. Dr. Karen Johnson, sleep medicine physician and co-chair of the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time.
When our schedules align with the timing of natural light, people benefit from brighter mornings, safer commutes to work and school, and improved sleep at night.
Want to lessen the effects of the time change? Try these tips. Get at least 7 hours of sleep per night before and after the change. Adjust the timing of daily routines like meals and exercise, and head out for early morning sunlight during the week after the time change. For more information about ending daylight saving time and to find additional resources about sleep disorders, treatments, and sleep health, visit sleepeducation.org, sponsored by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the show. And we are joined for this last segment by Stephen Wilford. He is a spokesman for Gun Owners of America and is the archetypical good guy with a gun because in 2017 he stopped the deadliest mass shooting in Texas's history. He's also author of A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy. Stephen Wilford, always happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Oh, I am doing superb. It's always great to be on your show.
Always happy to have you. So we're talking now about how in Pennsylvania they have sort of a gun registry in the works in their legislature. They have this bill going through that would create one. I mean, if it's not legal for the federal government to have a gun registry, why would it be legal for a state? What's going on with this?
It is not legal for that state. And rest assured, first, we have Val Fenrel, that is, he is the GOA state representative, and he's down there fighting this registry right now. And it has not passed yet, and I don't think it will get passed the House and the Senate. If it did, the Governor Shapiro would probably sign it, but I don't think it's going to make it that far. And again, if you're in Pennsylvania, you should be part of Gun Owners of America, or if you're anywhere else, as a matter of fact, go to gunowners.org and sign up, be part of the fight.
I guess that raises kind of a question, though, given how small the chances are. How much of this stuff is performative for the voting base? Like in Virginia, for example, the last 2 years, the Democrat state legislature, they've tried to pass gun restrictions, assault weapons bans, etc., and only to be vetoed by the Republican governor. Of course, now we know that they have the Democrats governor in charge. They're going to get it through. But, you know, why tip your hand in advance, except unless you plan to just rally the base in the hope? But Pennsylvania seems a little less purple than Virginia at this point.
Pennsylvania is a whole lot less purple than Virginia at this point. And rest assured, we are going to be fighting tooth and nail in Virginia. And I would say that people in Virginia need to rise up also. All these gun owners that, you know, we know so many hunters and gun owners around this nation that failed to vote. And get out there and vote. It's so much easier to vote and to kill these things within Congress than have to fight them out into the courts. It just shouldn't be. You know, even the Democrats understand that it is against the Constitution. But, you know, it just makes it so expensive to we can fight easier something that doesn't pass than now try to overturn something that did pass. Please go to gunowners.org and fight, because wherever you're from in this nation, understand we are fighting in your state. Trying to fight it at the state level, and we're also fighting it at the federal level also. Our home office is in Virginia, and we have to be in close enough to D.C. to fight the fight in D.C. And so we're in Springfield, Virginia, and we're absolutely in the fight to win it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in Virginia, actually, now that you're talking about it, in this last election, you know, speaking of people sitting out the votes, while the Democrats, they only had a 17% loss of voters between Kamala in 2024 and the election this year, Republicans, they lost 31% of their voters. Just 31% decided to stay home. It wasn't worth their time. Just wait for whatever happens to happen, I guess, and hope there's a lawyer out there to help them.
Well, you know, I spoke at the Capitol in Virginia one time to over 100,000 people. And I'm wondering where those 100,000 people were when that election happened. Are they just complacent, thinking it's not going to happen? You think it's just not going to happen? It's time to get out, get active, get in there, get in the vote. Also, you know, GOA, we will send out you know, things that will tell you who to fight for the most, to fight for your rights. You know, you should be out there. You know, we can do the study for you if you want. We can write the letters for you. You sign them and send them in. We are absolutely in the fight to win the fight. And understand, you know, you can vote communism into action, but it takes a gun to take it out. To gun owners and get out there and get registered to vote and fight these bills before they get into law.
Yeah, the number here is about 638,000 people that between voting for who vote difference between who voted for Trump and then who voted for the Republican governor candidate the following year in Virginia. 638,000 just sat it out. And like you said, they don't seem to understand it's much harder to get rid of these laws than it is just to vote in an election so that the laws don't happen.
Absolutely. Let's get out there. Let's be active. Let's be proactive. Let's figure these things out before it gets into legislation. Mm-hmm. And we'll fight it in the legislation. But if it passes, now it's expensive and it takes time to work through the courts. If it's unconstitutional, we'll prove it's unconstitutional, but that takes time. Mm-hmm. And all that time, they're running around collecting guns or whatever they think they want to do. Look at Canada right now. They banned all firearms in Canada and gave it a October 31st is a deadline to turn them in. And now, you know, Alberta's talking about leaving Canada altogether. Let's not make that happen.
Western provinces of Virginia, where West Virginia has reached out to them and said, hey, if you want to secede from Virginia because of this stuff, do that. But if they had voted, it might not have been necessary.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They need to make it where it isn't necessary. It's ridiculous what's happening. And it's all around this nation, all those blue states. You can look at the difference in prosperity. People are fleeing the blue states and coming to red states because they've lost so many of their rights and they're overtaxed and everything else. And let's get out there and let's turn some of these purple states back red again. Let's take this nation back.
All right. Well, Stephen Wilford, appreciate that. We have about, less than a minute left now for the show. Real quick, where can our listeners find your book, A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy?
You can go to Amazon and find my book at Amazon. Please, you can find it also at gunowners.org, gunowners.org.
All right, well, Stephen Wilford, appreciate you being on the Al Nathan Show to talk about this. And again, listeners, he's a spokesman for Gun Owners of America, so you can go check out their website. We're done with you all for this hour of the program. But our websites are MainStreetMediaNetwork.com and AlanNathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.